across this room, it's time to praise the Lord. Let's give Him the glory for the great things He has done in our lives today. Sing this out.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things.
Sing it out.
A hero of heaven. You conquer the grave, and you free every captive, and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great.
Sing about His faithfulness, church.
You've been faithful through every storm, and you'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things.
Yes, you have.
And I know you will do it again, for your promise is yes and amen. God, you do great things.
Here we go.
Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name.
Celebrate His faithfulness today. He's done great and mighty things. Praise His name.
Well, amen, church family, this morning. Stay standing with me this morning. We want to say a word of welcome to you and Happy New Year 2022. I'm thinking about the scripture this morning when the psalmist says, I was glad when they said to me, let me go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad this morning to be in God's house together? Amen. We are excited to worship together, and we want to take a moment to welcome you if you're joining us online this morning or here in the room. We are so excited to be able to start the morning together in worship and praise to our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus. It's going to be a great day of worship. Our pastor has a powerful message prepared for us. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together, and of course, We look forward to greeting and welcoming all of our new members at the end of our service today. It's going to be a great morning together. I just want to say to you this morning as a guest, if you are here or again watching us online, we hope that you'll text the word guest to 74788. You can do that here in the room as well. Let us know that you're here. And of course, in person this morning, we'd love for you to head out to Guest Central at the end of our service. We have a gift for you there if you're a first-time guest with us, and we want to welcome you this morning and help you know all about our ministries here in the life of our church at Prestonwood. Our Main Street Buffet is fired up this morning and ready for you. We'd love for you to be a part of that and take advantage of that today. Always a wonderful time. And hey, I don't know if you're a teenager in the room this morning. Students, if you're here this morning, parents of students, we want to say to you how excited we are. We are less than a month away from our Freedom Weekend. And so if you're a student in this room or watching online, yes. Students, we know you're fired up about that. Moms and dads of teenagers, that's me and Michelle. We're praying about Freedom Weekend, how we can support and see all that God has for that weekend. That kicks off February 2nd. If you've not registered yet, or if your teenager's not registered for that, they need to be a part of that weekend. Please be praying, church. Please be praying for the teenagers and the students in our city. Please be praying that God would bring students to us that weekend that don't know Jesus, because they're going to hear the gospel powerfully preached all weekend long. We want to see a generation of young people ignited with a passion for Jesus all across our city, and Freedom Weekend is a great time to create momentum for that. Amen. Amen. So be praying for Freedom Weekend. And finally, men, don't forget, this coming Friday, January the 14th, 6:30 a.m. in our student ministry building, our pastor is kicking off a new series out of Proverbs called Rise Up, How You Can Be a Godly Man Standing Strong for the Lord. And so we want to encourage you this Friday morning, men, come and be a part of that. Pastor Graham will be there to kick that series off. We've got a free breakfast there for you. So that's a great plan, fellas. You ought to plan to join that and bring somebody with you this morning. We've got incredible things going on in the life of our church. Well, before we continue to worship, let me pray for us, and then Rick and the team are going to continue to lead us as we sing to the Lord this morning. Father, that's our prayer. That's our hope. That's our desire this morning, God, that we would worship you, God, from overflowing hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving for who you are and all that you've done in our lives, Father. Be lifted up. Be glorified in this place, in this moment, and amongst these people today, Father. We love you, and we pray this in your Son's powerful name. Amen.
Thanks, Jonathan. I love it when the church sings together, when we fill this room with praise. The Lord loves it even more. Let's sing together. From the darkness, I called your name. Into darkness, your mercy came. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is your love. Sing it. You bore my weakness. You took my shame. Buried my burdens in fields of grace. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is your love. From the heights of heaven, you stepped down to earth. Innocent perfection, gave your life for us. And we are amazed, and we stand in awe. For we have been changed by the power of the cross. How great, how great. Your life for us, and we are amazed. Yes, we are.
don't deserve it. We say thank you, Jesus.
There has never been, there will never be a God like you, a love so true. There has never been, there will never be a God like you, a love so true. There has never been, no, no, there will never be a God like you, a love so true.
Thank you, and go ahead and take a seat, everyone. It is really, really good to see you after being out a couple of Sundays over the past 2 weeks, taking a little bit of a break, as did some of you. But here we are back in 2022. So let me say Happy New Year to everyone. We're coming off an incredible last year, and I would love to tell you all the things that have happened. But we would be here till 2 o'clock this afternoon because it was an incredible, amazing year. I can tell you that our baptisms, our giving, all that we have done together in service for Christ is off the charts great. Next week, I'm going to give you a full report. I'm going to be coming before you as the church with a vision for Prestonwood going forward. Today, I'm going to be talking about the mission of the church, God's glorious church, and then next week I'm going to share with you something of the vision of where God is leading us. So this is an opportunity for us to get together, to gather, to worship, to pray, to praise God, to give, to witness, to share our faith, and to be God's church as never before in the days ahead. Every year I take a word and make it sort of the focal point of my thinking, ambitions, attitude, all the rest. And my word for this year is entrusted. Entrusted. Last year it was wonder. I just wanted to live in the wonder, the wide-eyed wonder of what it is to know and follow Christ, to see His glory in creation, in the church, all the things, the wonders of God. This year the word is entrusted because God is prompting me just to know that God has entrusted us with so many opportunities and responsibilities. And we want to be faithful stewards with what God has given us, the gifts of the Spirit that He has provided, the financial resources that He has given. And my calling as the minister and the pastor of this church, just entrusted to the leadership of my family. I just feel such an incredible entrustment that comes from God. And I hope whether that's a word for you this year or not, it will certainly be something that you think about as we are entrusted to be faithful to God, because certainly God has been faithful to us. But thank you for your giving. I can tell you that last year we exceeded our budget giving by a big mark. And again, come back next week because we're getting everything in, all the finals. But it's pretty spectacular what God did and what you did together as we have been giving and serving at the end of the year through 2021. And now on to 22. I am happy to announce that at the end of this new year, we are, God willing, going to Israel. Now, we put it off last year for obvious reasons and travel restraints and restrictions and all the rest, but we believe everything is already opening up, and we would love for you to go with us. This is an opportunity for you to experience your church and with your family and friends to go to the place where Jesus walked, to walk in his steps. What is a trip to Israel like? Well, it is it's Bible study, it's fellowship, it's worship, it's praying. We don't just go ride around in a bus and look at stuff. We stop and we sing and we celebrate and we get to know one another. We stay in wonderful hotels. But to think that we can stand on the Mount of Olives where Christ ascended and where he's returning, we know it is the site. To look over the city of Jerusalem and to remember the history and the destiny of that great city, the core, the central and spiritual core of the earth, and to be on the Sea of Galilee, to go in a Jesus boat, stop in the middle of the Sea of the Galilee and envision Christ walking on the water and preach and teach about how we can also, like Peter, walk on water, to be at the place where Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount and read the Beatitudes together and get on our knees and pray together, to be at a place where Peter was restored by Jesus after his great failure and sin, where Jesus said, ask Peter, do you love me? And he restored him there. And we've often seen people, their homes and lives and families and marriages restored at that very place. And then to go to Jerusalem and to be at the place where Christ died on the cross, Calvary, and then to go to the empty tomb and observe the Lord's Supper, it's a fantastic trip. So I'm telling you early, and I'm kind of emphasized, so you can get ready, you can start saving if you need to save some money, and here's what I would ask you to do. Just pray about it, and if God wants you to go, and your family and your friends to go, and it's open to all, we'll take about 200 to 250 people, typically. So you can come and go with us if God leads you. So pray for God's provision, and you'll get there if God wants you to be there. Amen? Amen. So thank you, church, for just being who you are. I'm going to take time in the message today to recount the purpose and the passion of this church, the people of Prestonwood. So I want you to get ready with God's word. I can't wait to share with you what God has placed on my heart today. Would you bow with me in prayer? Some of you are facing challenges in the new year. Maybe you're sick or someone you know is sick. Someone you know needs Jesus in their life. You need to pray for them. You want to pray for them. Maybe you have a financial need. You have a need in your life. And I want to pray for you. And the way we can connect specifically is for you simply just to maybe put your hand over your heart. If you personally and yourself, no, you need prayer. Just put your hand over your heart right now. Put your heart into this with me as we pray together. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your glory upon us, for the presence of Jesus in this place, because we know when we worship you, you inhabit the praises of your people. Thank you for this time to worship and now to pray, and to pray for one another with thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, we give up our worries and our fears. We move past our failures. We look to you for our strength, for our help, because you are our God and our Savior. Holy Spirit, minister your comfort and your grace and your peace. For those who are suffering, maybe who are sick, some watching online who couldn't get here today because of illness, we pray for these. We pray for those whose families may be tottering on the brink of breaking up. And I pray for those homes and those families and those marriages right now. And we agree together with hands over heart to pray for one another. We pray for those facing financial challenges, maybe job loss and a future that's uncertain. We pray that you would give peace, the peace that passes understanding. We pray for those who are sin sick, Lord, who are battling sinful addictions and sinful habits and sinful attitudes. Lord, we pray with confession for your forgiveness and for your power to overcome. We pray for those who are struggling in sin and want to break free today, thanking you for your gospel that saves anyone and everyone who comes to you. We pray for those who need the Lord today, who need you, that this would be the day of salvation in their hearts, wherever they be, watching on a screen or right here in this room right now, at our North Campus, at Espanol, people would come to Jesus today. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to worship once again. I'm going to be back with a message from God's Word, Ephesians chapter 3. You may want to be turning in your Bibles right now and finding Ephesians 3. And then at the close of the message, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together. And everyone who knows Christ and has trusted in Him as a baptized believer and follower of Jesus Christ, you're welcome at the table of the Lord. You're welcome to share in this with us as we observe the Lord's Supper communion together. And then we're going to give an invitation, as we always do, and invite people to put their faith and trust in Jesus and come forward and join the church and to be added to the fellowship of this church. What a great day this would be for you to make that decision to commit to being a member of this great church. And then we're going to bring new members from last year to the platform, as we do each year, in celebration of just some of the victories in people's lives that we're going to share and that we're going to see together. Does that sound like a good morning? Sounds like a great morning to me. One of my favorite songs, written by Michael Neal, is one on our album, our latest Preston Wood release. It's called The Beauty of the Cross.
Where he crushed the
Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3 as you're headed there. Jonathan Teague was up here earlier bringing your greeting and praying and making some announcements. And I'm happy to say that we have named Jonathan Teague Senior Associate Pastor here at Prestonwood. Someone asked, someone was saying, well, what does that mean, Senior Associate Pastor? Well, you know, all these years I've just gone by pastor, especially way back when I was a few years younger. I didn't want to sound like the old guy, senior pastor, or the retiring guy, senior pastor. No, so I just kept pastor. But, you know, I thought I've earned maybe that title now to be senior pastor, not because I'm old, though older, but because God has given me the wonderful privilege of leading this congregation. So what is Jonathan Teague's role as senior associate pastor? We have a number of associates and associate pastors and assistants and ministers and pastors. But I was telling John, anything that I do, this is what you do. And as senior associate pastor, he is alongside of me and helping us lead the staff, and alongside Mike Buster, our executive pastor, and working with our intern program, and as well as our online ministry, the church, the pastoral care ministry, all the things that the pastor is assigned to do in scriptures, equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry, preaching. Jonathan is a wonderful preacher. So Jonathan, you've already been welcomed without applause. Jonathan has been here as an associate doing education ministry, discipleship, and teaching ministry. And now, after about, how long has it been, Jonathan? 10 years. 10 years, he is now senior associate pastor. And so that's great. Welcome, Jonathan, to this new responsibility. And with that, we've moved some other folks around. For example, Jack Raymond, who is our online pastor and will continue to serve online. Welcome to all of our online people. But Jack is also moving to our Adult One division and working with young marrieds and young families with that assignment. And we're grateful for that. And we have a brand new gentleman coming in to do our Adult Two ministry. And then Jonathan Adkins is moving from singles ministry to adult four, where Jonathan Teague has served. So that's just a little bit. And again, we'll be catching you up on all things. We're seeing some wonderful entrustments from God as he has given us this wonderful assignment. Today's message is the glory of the church. We've just sung of the glory of the cross. And I want to speak to you, therefore, about the glory of the cross in the church, the glory of the church. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, these are well-known verses in the Prestonwood vocabulary and scripture memory. They are emblazoned on our building, even engraved on our building near the Faith Chapel. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Say amen. 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 To God be the glory. Great things he has done. And all the praise, all the glory goes to him. We can say many things about Prestonwood Church. We can say this is a great church because we have a great God and we serve a great God. We can say this is a beautiful church because God has provided through the sacrifices of his people generously through the years fantastic facilities where we worship, not only here but up in Prosper, the North Corridor, the 380 Corridor. And we're grateful for a beautiful church. But beyond, you know, I've always said it's never about the steeple, it's always about the people. I love saying the people of Prestonwood, because Prestonwood is the people of God, you, the people. This church is a wonderful church in so many ways. I could say it's a loving church, a caring church. So many adjectives that would describe this church, God's church. But I believe the best thing that could be said about our church or about any church is that we are a glorious church. And we are a glorious church because this is God's church. To him to him be all the glory. Any and every church that fulfills the vision and mission of Jesus Christ can be a glorious church. We have been given a great commandment. And that is, Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And with this great commandment to love God and to love people, we've been given by our Lord a great commission. And that is to make disciples, to go into all the world and to make disciples, to preach the gospel, convert people in the name of Jesus, bring people to faith in Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that Christ has commanded us. That's the great commission in Matthew chapter 28. We have our own application, if you will, or restatement as to how we fulfill the great commandment and the great commission of Jesus. It's called our Prestonwood mission statement. How many of you know that we have a mission statement as a church? All right? You know it? How many of you can say it? All right? I'm going to help you see it this morning, and I'm going to put it on the screen for you one more time. We often post it because we want all of us to understand, to sign up in our commitment to the mission of the church. Our mission at Prestonwood Baptist Church is to what? There it is, right at the top of the list. To glorify God. How? By introducing Jesus Christ as Lord to as many people as possible and to develop them in Christian living, using the most effective means to impact the world, making an eternal difference in this generation, and we just added this year, and in the generations to come. For as we just read in the scriptures, to him be glory in the church from generation to generation forever and ever. Amen. This close of Ephesians chapter 3 verses 14 to 21 is a doxology, which means to give God glory. It is a doxology, a prayer and a praise to God. And the bottom line of this prayer is to God be the glory, to glorify God. But Paul starts on his knees. In fact, if you'll look back up to verse 14, which is the start of this prayer that Paul gives us, if you want to learn how to pray like an apostle, how many of you would like to pray like an apostle? Well, if you could pray like Paul, that would be a powerful thing. And interestingly enough, about two-thirds of the New Testament is written by the hand of Paul, and about 50% of what Paul writes in the great theologies and truths that are shared in the letters of Paul is about prayer. It's about asking for prayer. It's about receiving prayer. It's about giving prayer. It's about praying prayers. It's just pray, pray, and pray some more. It is filled. It fills the life of the apostle Paul. And notice in verse 14, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knee." He gets on his knees and he prays for the church at Ephesus, a people that he loved, people who love Christ and love their church, pray for the church. Let me say that again. People who love Jesus and love their church will pray for their church. He had a great love for the believers at Ephesus, and we see that in the New Testament. And yet, even as he was in Rome and separated from them and in prison, he is praying for the people at Ephesus, because in praying, the distance makes no difference. We connect with God. Paul is now in prison, facing the last years of his life. And the prisons of that era were very unlike the prisons of today. The prisons of today are not good places. But the prisons of that day were hell holes. I've been to the place where Paul was imprisoned in Rome, the maritime prison. Now it's somewhat of a shrine or a memorial that is there with a church front. But when you go in, you go down into a hole in the ground. And that's what it would have been. It was filthy. It was no running water, no fresh food, other prisoners piled on top of you. It was gross. It was grotesque. It was cold. It was dirty. It was a grotesque and gross place. Paul is in the pit of this prison in Rome, and yet he's on his knees praying for the church. Can you imagine that? Have you thought about how hard it might have been for the Apostle Paul to get down on his knees, his old bony knees, and pray? After all, he had been beaten on numerous occasions within an inch of his life, and one time he was left to dead, for dead. He had been shipwrecked at sea and like pickled in the brine of the ocean, and he had been abused and lied about and slandered and imprisoned on numerous occasions and beaten and bruised. His body was broken. He had been sick. Most likely Paul suffered from malaria. It was a thorn in the flesh of some kind that broke his body down. And yet, he got on his knees to pray. He got down on his knees to pray for the church. And though he was in prison, his spirit was free, because his blessings were in the heavenlies, and his heart was in the heavenlies with the Lord. This is how he prayed, from the floor up, from the knees up. There's no such thing as a Jesus-filled, spirit-filled, victory-thrilled church apart from bold, believing prayer. So what we have here is a prayer. The prayers that are essential and vital to the spiritual health and growth of the church. And when you read this prayer, and we've covered this in numerous on several occasions in the past in preaching on this passage, but he prays for spiritual power. He prays that Christ would be at home in our hearts and live and dwell within us, that we would know the vastness and the greatness of the love of God, its height, its depth, its width, its breadth, of the love of God and all the fullness of God. And having prayed this on his knees, he then gives this great doxology. To him, be glory in the church. He says, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that is in us. And then he says, but to him, it's not unto us, O Lord, but unto you and to your glory. He prays. I'm asking every member of Prestonwood, if you love this church, if you love God's church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would pray. That you would pray and pray often. I would even dare you to get on your knees and pray. Now, you don't have to be on your knees to pray. You can pray. In fact, praying on your knees is not that often mentioned in Scripture. Mentioned here, of course. But when we read the scriptures, we see people standing when they pray, lifting their hands when they pray. We see people sitting when they pray. So whether you're talking or standing, when you're thinking, you're praying. Paul said, pray always, even in our thought lives, on our beds, on our chairs, on our walks, in our exercise, at our desk, at your locker. You can pray anywhere and everywhere, but there is something very wonderful, very powerful about getting on your knees to pray. This year, we are honoring Dr. James Dobson and his wife Shirley Dobson at our Zig Ziglar Prestonwood Christian Academy dinner, the Servant Leadership Award. Great man, James Dobson. Shirley is a prayer warrior. And not too long ago, a couple of years ago actually, she had a knee replaced, maybe both knees, I can't quite recall, but I know one knee. And the question she asked her doctor before she went to surgery said, now when you give me a new knee, when you fix my knee, I want to make sure I can still get down on my knees and pray. What a great request. I want to be able to get on my knees. Sometimes we get on our faces before God and we pray. It is in prayer. You know, sometimes the direction of the body indicates the disposition of the soul. So when you kneel in prayer, it's a sign of surrender. It's a disposition, attitude of worship and honor and praise and to give God glory. In our services, from anytime we give an invitation, really, we invite people to come forward. if God has prompted you, and come to this place, this altar, and get on your knees and pray. For through the years at our men's Bible study on Friday morning, which has been a core curriculum for the men of our church. And as Jonathan mentioned earlier, we are starting a new series from Proverbs. It'll be my privilege to speak this Friday. Neil Jeffrey, most often, along with others on our preaching team, speak to this. Men, this is so important to the life of our church that we gather and rally together as men and rise up as the men of God. But most every Friday when we close the Bible study, we get down on our knees. And it's a pretty hard floor down there in the worship center for students. Can I get an amen from some of you old guys? Get on our knees and pray. It's a beautiful thing to see men surrendered and yielded to God, and women, and boys, and girls. Teach your children to get on their knees and pray. Again, it's not the position of the prayer, but it's the disposition of our hearts that matters. So get up and rise up from the prayer. You didn't wonder if I could get up from that, did you? I can do some deep knee bends, I tell you. But to pray on your knees, pray on your feet, pray on your bed, pray when you're sitting, pray when you're exercising. But from time to time, get on your knees. Give yourself unconditionally to God. Pray for the glory of God. Now, what is the glory of God? It's a word that's used hundreds of times in the scripture. The glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. When the angels sang at the birth of Christ, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." We're to glory in the cross, as I noted earlier. It's mentioned over and over again. Often when I sign my name, I will put Psalm 84:11, which says, "The Lord our God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly." He gives grace and he gives glory. It's the glory of Christ in us. And there is to be glory in the church. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is exaltation. It is adoration. It is what is happening now in heaven around the throne of God. The angels themselves are obsessed, occupied with the glory of God. And the way to bring heaven to earth is for we ourselves to worship and bring glory to God. We glorify God when we exalt Him, when we praise Him, when we speak of Him with love and adoration, whether it is in singing or preaching or giving or serving or witnessing or just living every day. Paul said, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, glorify God with your body, with your life." We glorify God when we show up at church, gather with God's people, and worship Him. We glorify God when we're faithful to be in His presence, and faithful and prayerful in worship, and sacrificial in our giving, and loving in our ministry and service. This all and much more glorifies God. But specifically, I want to mention three ways that there is glory in the church. That we have become and will become more and more a glorious church. Back to our mission statement. Our mission is to glorify God. Healthy churches, like healthy bodies, and the church is the body of Christ. The church is the visible body of the invisible Christ. Just like my body is the visible expression of the invisible Jack, the part of me that you don't see. The church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're also the bride of Christ. But as a body, we are to be healthy and therefore reproducing, and reproducing reproducers, growing up the church. Rick Warren, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, he also wrote a book entitled The Purpose-Driven Church. And in it, he mentions five ways that we glorify Christ. This is the mission and the passion of the church. This is the purpose of the church, according to Warren, and I agree with this. There are five purposes. We are stronger in worship. We are deeper in discipleship. This is all how we glorify God. Stronger in worship, deeper in discipleship, warmer in fellowship, broader in ministry, and larger in evangelism. I should put it this way. We grow stronger in worship. We grow deeper in discipleship. We grow warmer in fellowship. We grow broader or wider in ministry, and we grow larger by evangelism. Another way that you could describe a healthy, vibrant, glorious church would be just the acrostic well, W-E-L-L. These are the four purposes of the church. That is worship, that is evangelism, that is loving people in ministry and in service, and that is also learning, growing in our faith through the teaching of God's word. But always, always to glorify God, because our focus is on Him. Our fullness, the power of the Holy Spirit is from Him. Our fellowship is because of Him. We are together, believing together, baptized together, belonging together, becoming more and more like Christ together. This is what God has called us to do. Our focus is on Him. Our fullness is from Him, the power of the Spirit. Our fellowship is with Him. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and our future is with Him. Some people say, well, the church is going out. Well, Jesus told the church to go out, to leave the assembly and to scatter and to go out. But ultimately, we're not going out. We're going up because God has a future for the church. We had the funeral service of a wonderful man here at Prestonwood by the name of Chet Moyers this past week. And someone was telling me about Chet near the end of his life. He was very sick and in bed. He had fallen and other complications. But when someone asked him, typical of Chet, he was so positive and full of faith, they asked him, how are you doing? And he said, well, I'm down, but I'm not out. Well, the church may be down in some quarters, but the church is never out because we're going up to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. That'd be a good place for an amen. Amen. By the way, if you are a guest today or if you're watching online, this message is somewhat different than what you would typically get here at Prestonwood, teaching the Word of God, preaching the Bible. But we're going to take some weeks here to just share the mission and the vision of the church and give everyone an update on who we are and why we are here. And we would love if you are a guest, a visitor, or viewer online or on PowerPoint that you would join us in this mission and this vision of Christ. But how do we glorify God in the church? Number one, by exalting Jesus in prayer, praise, and proclamation. By exalting Jesus in prayer, praise, and proclamation. Let there be glorious praise to God in the church. All glory to God. Praising Him is our purpose. Glorifying God is our passion, personally and together as the church. There's an old Westminster Confession of Faith, an older confession of beliefs. And at the top of it, it says, the chief end of man, that is the purpose of people, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So the bottom line in the church of all the things that we're doing, evangelism is not first. Discipleship is not first. Fellowship is not first. Ministry is not first. What is first is the praise and the prayer and the proclamation of Christ through His people. That is first and foremost forever. That's what we're going to be doing in heaven forever. Our desire is to love God with everything that we have the very finest worship ministry I can imagine. It's great to have our choir and orchestra back today. And whoever is up here, whether it be choir and orchestra, band or singers, and those who are leading us in the expression of our praise to worship, remember, they're not here to entertain us or perform for us. but to participate, to prompt us to also worship God, to lead us in worship. Even the gift of Christmas. And we had over 1,000 people lift up a light and sign in that they had responded to the gospel and received Jesus as their Lord and Savior through the gift of Christmas this past month. It's incredible. Now, not all of them are going to join this church or be baptized here. Many will not, and many don't need to. They go to other churches. Often people come to the gift of Christmas and they go to churches where they don't hear the gospel or rarely hear the gospel. And so what a great response it is to share with people everywhere who Jesus is and why he came. But this is why we do the gift of Christmas, is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to glorify him. And when you come to church services here at Prestonwood, I just urge you to prayerfully come and bring your praise with you. We shouldn't have to pump up your praise. You ought to bring your praise into the house. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And when we are praising God, even the songs that we're singing, whether great traditional hymns or the carols of Christmas or new worship songs that we have written, and we have a writing core here and team here that are producing new music for the church and new songs for our generation, all good. But all these songs that we sing, these are also prayers that we pray. It will transform your worship life if you consider this, the words that you're singing, as prayers to God. Praying and worshiping God. So in our singing, in our speaking, in our bringing our tithes and our offerings, we are worshiping him. And of course, our worship, the praise and prayer, is also, worship includes the proclamation, the preaching of the Word of God. Here at our church, at the very heart of this room of worship, is the pulpit. Now, the pulpit is just a piece of furniture. I can come over here and preach. I can come out here and preach, or over here, or down there. I've preached on street corners. I've preached a lot of times in a lot of places without a pulpit. But this pulpit is prominent in this church because we want it to symbolize and to signify the centrality of the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, the inerrant, infallible, eternal Word of the living God. Because what we preach here is the Word of God and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do it each week. The preaching of the Word. So I want to really challenge you, if you're making some resolves for the new year, bring your Bibles to church. You can even bring one of those fake Bibles on your phone if you want to. No, I'm okay with that. But I do like a Bible. I like a floppy Bible that moves around a little bit that you can mark up. But bring your Bible. Open your Bibles. When somebody says open your Bibles, follow along. Don't be dependent on somebody putting something on a screen. That's too easy. We'll put it up there. But open your Bibles and get into the Word of God. Whoever is in the pulpit, whether it is Jack Graham or Jonathan Teague or Scott Turner or David Shivers or any of the men who preach the gospel around here, Connor. And when you're praying, by the way, pray for those who preach the Word of God. We'll do a lot better if you'll pray for us. I promise you, we will. We want to be prayed up so that we can preach out the Word of God, that it would have impact not only here but around the world as our online services are being carried. So exalting Jesus through prayer, through praise, through preaching, the proclamation of the Word of God. My goodness, I have to hurry. Where is the time going? I think time's moving faster already in 2022. Just stay with me. We may be late, but we're going to be here. Number two, growing believers by edifying and equipping one another into spiritual unity and maturity. I think that's on the screen so that you can see it just as I said it. Ephesians 4:12-13 says, this is our task, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, we've got new members that we're going to bring up here in just a few moments. And what is the standard for membership at Prestonwood? What's the goal? What are we asking a member of this Prestonwood church to be and to do? Just what we heard, to be equipped in unity and maturity and to grow up into the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, to become more and more like Jesus. That's the goal. That's the growth. That you would be a growing, developing disciple, deeper in discipleship. This is the task and the responsibility of the leadership of the church to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, to grow into this unity and into this maturity, to close the gap. You know what sin is? Sin, according to Romans 3:23, is to fall short of what? The glory of God. And everyone falls short of the glory of God. So the goal is the glory. The goal is the glory of Christ, for us to close the gap between our sin and through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit to draw us nearer and nearer to Christ. Not that we would ever this side of eternity be sinless, but that we would sin less and sin less and sin less as we grow, growing in maturity and unity in the body of Christ. This is our fellowship in Christ. And we have so many ministries that produce this kind of thing. This membership, ministry, and growth. How do we do it? Through life groups. Life groups. Some of you still call them Sunday school classes. That's okay. Bible study, small group strategy. And we have a Bible teaching group, a small group for you. And I urge you, I plead with you to get in a group, because in a group, that's when we can grow together in a smaller setting. People typically learn better in circles than they do even in rows. And so get in a circle with believers of like mind and like faith. And we have an age group for you, whether you are a preschooler or a child or a student or an adult, a single adult, a married adult. We have open classes for both singles and married adults. We have special needs. And what a wonderful ministry it is to ministry to children and adults with special needs through these small groups, through our Bible teaching ministry, is certainly fantastic. This is one of the reasons we've been able to come back so well over the past 2 years, is because of our small groups. Included in this teaching ministry equipping to maturity and unity, is also our women's ministries, and they're the groups of women, and our men's ministry. I've already spoken to you about the Friday morning. We have fellowship, we have prayer, we have ministry. We walk into a group where people know your name and care. I saw it twice this past week. We had two large funerals here at the church, one with a 34-year-old young man who grew up in our church, Scott Pegram. Wonderful family in this building. This room was filled with people. And I saw the church at work. I saw the life group of the family at work serving and praying and being a part. I mean, you can get lost in a church like this if you choose to do it, but you have to work hard to do it, because really we're coming after you, okay? We are coming after you because we want you to know Christ and to make Christ known. No holy huddles, please. In our life group, Bible studies, we're not there just to look at each other, like each other, but to reach people and then teach people for Christ and the gospel. We have our student ministry. Our student ministry is next. It's so fantastic. You heard about Freedom coming up here in just a month, whether it's beach camp or worship. Right now, students, and in the next hour as well, will be in worship in the student worship room, along with Bible study, deepening devotion, deepening and developing in discipleship. Our children's ministry, what are we doing? We are glorifying God in all of this by equipping and encouraging people to grow and develop in their faith, to deepen in discipleship and to grow in their walk with Christ. As a part of this is our pastoral care and ministry, hospitals and visiting adult care centers and ministering to the hurting and to the sick and to the grieving. Our deacons do such a tremendous job. We have over 200 deacons. They'll be serving the Lord's Supper for us in just a moment. But our wonderful deacons, led by Chairman Clarence Williams and his team. We have a hospitality ministry to glorify God. We built our halls wide as we could and put a commons down there and a food service. But you know, we don't have a restaurant business. You know what we have? We have a hospitality ministry. We have a fantastic bookstore where you can pick up Bibles and Christian materials and books and gifts. But you know what? We don't have a bookstore business. We have a bookstore ministry. We gave out over 3,500 new believers' Bibles last year to people who requested them, and many of these came to faith in Christ. Our fellowship grows warmer and dearer and sweeter as the days go by. One final thing, and that is we glorify God not only by exalting Jesus and growing believers in ministry and maturity. I just got to stop and say one thing, though. Hang with me. Get a ministry in the church. Get involved in a ministry. Don't be on church welfare, please. You know what I'm saying? We have 100, how many ministries do we have, Mike Buster? Let's say 150 different ministries and ministries that flow out of those ministries. You say, well, I don't know how to find a ministry. Ask anyone in your Bible fellowship life group. Ask any of our ministers. Go to Next Step, which is our class that introduces the church to new members. But you can go if you've been a member here 10 years. Maybe you never got in that. You can go find out how you can serve. God has given you a spiritual gift. God has given you a ministry. And you are to exercise those gifts. They're not toys to be played with, but tools to work with. And therefore discover and develop and deploy your spiritual gift in ministry. Serving Jesus Christ. What am I saying? Get a job. Get a job. Don't be a spectator or a religious consumer. Be a servant of Christ. One final thing, sharing the gospel through evangelism and missions. Now listen up. We're to do this locally and globally. We say to our neighbors and to our nations, our nation and to the nations. We exist for evangelism because of the glory of God and for the glory of God and the glory of the cross. As fire exists for burning, we exist for burning with the fires of evangelism. To do what? To know Him and to make Him known. To love God and to love our neighbors. The best way we can love our neighbors is to tell them about Jesus. To be a witness as Jesus commanded us as salt and light. To go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what we're about? We are about, through the power of the Holy Spirit, changing lives and changing legacies. I thought a lot about this after Christmas. We often say changing lives. That's wonderful. Your life gets changed. You're a new creature in Christ. But not only as the church are we changing lives, but we are changing legacies from generation to generation. Can you imagine what happens when a father whose life is broken comes to Jesus? How that changes the future of that family? Can you imagine in your faithfulness to glorify God with your life, how that changes the trajectory of your home and your family? Changes everything from generation to generation. Changing lives and changing legacies. Sharing the gospel. Many ways we do that. Life recovery. Why? Because Jesus cares about broken people. People who are addicted. People that the world has thrown away. And through the Exchange Life Program and the ministry of our life recovery led by Michael Perrin, we have an incredible witness and ministry of the gospel. PowerPoint. Our radio and television and online ministry. Hundreds and hundreds of people are coming to Christ. Seeing people saved is a regular occurrence 24/7. We are in every state with the gospel. We are in virtually every nation in the world, including the Middle East, including Europe, including the Latin American countries. I've been to Rome and to Germany and to Romania, and I've met Christians who view PowerPoint all over. We just heard from a lady in Canada, so whether it's North America or South America, Latin America, I'm telling you, through the through the preaching of the Word of God, the witness of this church, PowerPoint, and our online is heard everywhere around the world. That's evangelism. That's missions. Our pregnancy center. More about that next week and the vision that we have. But now at two locations and a mobile clinic, we've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of salvations this past year, and we've saved many babies that I'll tell you about next week. And that's our pregnancy center. So it's global, it's local. Prestonwood Cares is our caring ministry of food and clothing and ministry, whether it is in the Bonton community or working with partners like Bridge Builders. Prestonwood Cares. We care about people. We care about our community. We also care enough to engage in the culture and to be a testimony for truth and righteousness in our culture. The Prestonwood Sports Outreach. Our largest local outreach is Prestonwood Sports Outreach. I asked them to give me the accumulative number. The accumulative number. In other words, and it's a box number, it's a guesstimate, but I'm keeping it conservative. Last year, and typically in a year at Prestonwood Sports Outreach, we will have right at 200,000 participants. That's coaches and referees and umpires and parents and grandparents. Some of them were counting Christ, of course, or more. But I'm just saying, 200,000 people in our gym, on our fields, and we have the brand new Joe Perry Sports Complex. Thank you very much for your giving. Let's continue to fulfill our pledges on that. We want to grow that and expand it even more. I'll tell you about that next week. Are you listening really fast? Because I'm going as fast as I can. But why? Why a sports ministry? Can you tell me? Why? To glorify God. To glorify God. You think we should glorify God with our bodies? Yes. That would include athletic participation. It certainly glorifies God in terms of our mission and our ministry with people. Then there's mission partnerships. That is going onto mission fields. I ask our leadership in our missions program, our global missions program, in the last 5 years, how many nations have Prestonwood people visited and served and ministered as missionaries part-time on the travel side of missions? And that number is 28 nations. This includes Prestonwood Christian Academy. 28 nations and 5 continents where Prestonwood people have gone with the gospel of Christ. And we've been slowed down a little bit on the travel the last year or so, but we're going to be ramping up that, God willing. Then the Prestonwood Network with pastors and church plants and mentoring young pastors and ministries. What about Prestonwood Espanol? 2 locations, Gilberto Corredera and team. We have 25 Latino countries represented in our church, just in our Prestonwood Espanol ministry. We're heard, Prestonwood Espanol is heard on Telemundo across the nation, across Latin America online. Gilberto Corredera is now a well-known preacher all across the Latin American countries because of the online of Prestonwood Espanol. Pray for Prestonwood Espanol. We have nearly 2,000 people here at 2 o'clock every Sunday afternoon. If you want to get fired up, come to one of those services. It's fantastic. Go to lunch and then come to church again at 2 o'clock and with our Spanish-speaking Espanol service. And one more thing, and I am going to shut this down. Local evangelism includes you and your personal witness and turning your home into a place for evangelism. Here's what I'm going to be asking you to do, and I've got a strategy in my head I'm putting together. We want to turn your home, your house, into a lighthouse in your neighborhood for the gospel. Wouldn't it be wonderful if your house was known as a lighthouse for the gospel in your neighborhood? That you were loving and serving and caring. Start with maybe knowing the names of your neighbors and walking across the street or down the street. Or serving when someone is hurting. Your house should be a lighthouse. And we're gonna put this together. And I'm praying hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Deb and I were driving somewhere up north this past weekend. We were by a whole new group of houses that just blowing up this community. And I'm thinking, dear God, how are we going to get the word out that we're even here? All these people that are moving from the mission field, which is the People's Republic of California and other places, to our city and to our nation. Welcome, all Californians. We're glad you're here. Welcome to Texas, and welcome to Prestonwood. So, but how are we going to do this? Lighthouse in your house. God's put you in your neighborhood. So we say to the nations, let's cheer. The gospel's going to the nations, but let's start cheering for people coming down this aisle and giving their hearts to Jesus because you brought them, because you led them, because you prayed for them, because that one was your neighbor or your friend that you brought to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your church, your glorious church, for the people of Prestonwood, this church. And now as we receive your supper together, as we commune together in this fellowship, may your glory and grace be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Serve you, and when you receive the tray, just take both the cup and the bread and hold it, and we'll receive it all together. Let's go, men.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And for my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And for my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Sing this verse together.
And this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Sing it.
This
glorify
is
God.
All my righteousness.
Give him glory.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Jesus took the bread, symbolizing himself, the bread of heaven, and he broke it and he gave thanks. And we give thanks, we give glory to God for his life, his body broken for us. On the cross, he bore our sins and our griefs and our sorrows. He took it upon himself. And this bread, unleavened, symbolizing the pure body, the sinless sacrifice of our Savior, we receive it today in his name and for his glory. He said, as often as you eat of this bread, do it in remembrance of me. For your cleansing power, O God, for your body and your blood, we praise you. We worship and adore you. We glorify you. We lift up your holy name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bread of heaven, blood of God, Jesus, thank you for uniting us together in that blood, that your blood is the blood that courses in the DNA of this congregation and this church. May it always be true. May we glory only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus took the cup, which was red with the fruit of the vine, and he said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. As often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. Would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing. The ministers of our church are going to be here at the head of these aisles. And before we bring the new members forward, I'm going to invite you to come to trust in Christ as your Savior. Someone has shared Jesus with you, who died on the cross for your sins, who rose again that you could have eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Online, 747-88, text in Jesus. And right here, I'm going to ask that you come forward and openly confess Christ. Part of the evangelism theme and thrust of our church is the public invitation. We invite people. We say, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Welcome to the family of God.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 747-88. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 747-88 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.